Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
With our arms
But working power of our God just showed up right where you are. I need somebody to bless him, because your miracle is right there where you are. We've been waiting. We've been waiting on you. Miracle worker.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. How are you? This is Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so grateful that you are here tonight. We praise God for you, and especially you. We thank God for all that he is doing with us and through us. We give God praise, honor, and glory, because truly he is God all by himself.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah.
Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.
Yes, welcome to Turn on the Light Broadcast. We are outreach pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International with our awesome leader, Bishop Ruth W. Smith Holmes in Stockbridge, Georgia. We are so glad that you tune in tonight. You are in for a treat. We're going to show you a God that will bring you out. So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody, because Turn on the Light Broadcast is on the air. Yes, tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here is a song just for you.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn.
That's why they said they use the egg to celebrate.
But we know Resurrection Sunday is the Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. Friday night he was crucified and died and give up the ghost, and he rose Sunday morning that we may live again. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to talk briefly about the last seven sayings on the cross by Jesus. And we all know them by heart, but I begin to get a little a different insight on what was really aspiring at the cross. The things that really happened at the cross, I never seen it the way I've seen it last night. Now, we know that the first saying, and notice the life of Jesus, he's always teaching us something.
Mm-hmm.
He's always demonstrating something to us in everything that he do. There's a song say he's intentional. Everything Jesus does is intentional, and he is intentionally teaching us even, oh my God, even on the cross, he is laying out some things for us that we can grasp and live and rejoice about.
Amen.
So the first saying we want to look at, you'll find in Luke, the 23rd chapter and the 34th verse, Luke 23 and 34. And this is from the King James Version of the Bible. You find this. Let us have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you,
for
the opportunity, God, to share your word.
Yes,
we pray, oh God,
thank
that you
Father.
Use my lips, use my mind, use my thought, God, that I would be able to give the word of God. Oh God, give the
thank
people
you,
also that listen, God, ear to hear, God, and a heart to receive the
Lord.
Word of God. God, bless this word, God. Let
thank
it be
Lord,
a life-changing word. In the name of Jesus we pray,
amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
The first thing that Jesus did on the cross was Luke 23 and 34. And it says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, we can say that they knew what they were doing, but Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now Jesus is teaching right here a principle that he spoke about in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
The Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was teaching from the Beatitudes and all the teaching he gave, he is demonstrating now what he's taught on the Mount. Jesus said, know that he was on his way to offer a sacrifice
to
God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He was going to be the ultimate sacrifice.
Ultimate.
He was offering himself as the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to God to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, the reason why he's saying that is because in Matthew 5:23 and 24 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way, first reconcile to your brother, then come offer your gift.
My Lord.
So right now he's saying, now the brothers have an ought against me.
Wow, yeah.
They whoop me. They bruise me. They pull my beard out. They put a crown of thorns on my head. They nail me to this cross like a common criminal. So my brothers have an ought against me. But what Jesus said, because before he could offer his gift, he had to make sure he reconciled with his brother.
That's right.
So he's demonstrating Matthew 5 and 23 and 24, where he said, if you have an offering to give and you know your brother has an ought against you, not that you have an ought against him.
Right.
You have an ought, the brother have an ought against you. Here's what you do. You go and reconcile with that brother.
That's
so
right.
What Jesus did was he reconciled with his brothers and did not hold it to their charge.
Right.
Even though the Jews said Let the blood be on us.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They cried out, crucify him. Let the blood be on us. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I want to reconcile with my brothers because I got an offering I got to give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in order for me to give my offering freely, mm-hmm. I have to make sure I reconcile with my brother. So Jesus is saying here, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing.
Wow.
So just forgive them so I can now go and mm-hmm. present my offering.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is summed up in forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The whole act of salvation is in forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the offering
mm-hmm.
of forgiveness.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He is the offering of
yeah.
forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and so the only way we can have salvation is for him to give this offering.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows that in order to reconcile man back to God,
mm-hmm.
there have to be forgiveness.
That's right.
So he
That's
stressed,
right.
Father, the first thing he laid out
mm-hmm.
is, Father, forgive them.
Forgive them.
For they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure in our lives that we forgive folks,
mm-hmm.
even if we think
that's
they know
right.
not what they know what they're doing.
That's right. That's
we
right.
still have to forgive them.
That's
forgiveness
right.
is not a feeling.
Mm-mm.
It is not something that you feel on the inside,
yeah.
but is a decision.
That's right.
You got to make a decision. Jesus was hurting. He was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
He was wrecking in pain, but he decided.
Mm. That's forgive.
Because in order for him to give his offering freely,
mm-hmm.
he had to do the first thing.
Right, right.
Jesus don't tell us to do something that he's not doing.
That's right. No.
So in order for us to give an offering, give whatever we want to give to God, we first got to reconcile with our brother, even if our brothers
mm-hmm.
did us wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Jesus here is expressing the word of God to us. So,
mm-hmm.
so. Jesus shows us that we must forgive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Before you do anything, before you give God an offering, before you go to worship,
mm-hmm.
before you try to worship,
mm-hmm.
you need to do the first thing
mm-hmm.
is forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know in the Lord's Prayer,
mm-hmm.
that's part of what he said we should do
that's
on
right.
a daily basis.
Daily basis, yes.
Forgive us as we
forgive
our debtors.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to ask for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and we got to give it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You can't, you got to receive and then give. They go together.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have one without the other.
That's right.
And so Jesus is demonstrating to us that we have to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing he says on the cross is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus is teaching even at the point of death.
Mm-hmm.
He is still teaching us. So let's go on to the second last thing,
mm-hmm.
which is he said, Luke 23 and 43. Luke 23 and 43. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. The first thief on the cross was saying, "You claim to save everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't even save
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of king are you?"
Right.
He began to ridicule Jesus. But the second thief
mm-hmm.
recognized that he was a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He was worthy of what his punishment was.
Right, right, right.
But he saw that Jesus was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to have compassion on Jesus.
Yes.
So in order to have compassion
mm-hmm.
on Jesus, you've got to love the Lord.
Right, right, exactly.
So we have compassion on Jesus, what he did on the cross. That gives us the love. When we see the movie with the Passion of the Christ and we see how bad he's been whipped, oh, my God, it rents our heart, even though we know it's a movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they tell us that even the way that they did the movie cannot even compare
mm-hmm. to what he went
to what he actually went through.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see that, we get compassion because we love the Lord.
Right.
And so this thief recognized that he was guilty.
Mm.
And so all he said, he didn't name off all his sins.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Because he recognized, he began to say, I know that you are the Christ.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he said, when you come into your kingdom.
Oh, my Lord.
He didn't say if now. Now, this is a thief on the cross now.
Man.
This is a thief. This is a criminal.
Yes.
He recognized who Jesus was.
Yes, yes.
He said, when, not if. Mm. When you come into your kingdom.
Remember me.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
Don't do much, but just remember me. Don't do like the baker and the butler did Joseph.
My Lord.
They forgot him when they got in front of the king. But when you get into your kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget.
Don't forget about. Remember me. And so Jesus' answer is today, not tomorrow,
today.
Not Sunday when I get up,
mm-hmm.
but today you will be with me in heaven. And so 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 say to be absent from the body.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Is to be present with the Lord. So Jesus say today you will be with me. In paradise. Hallelujah. All you got to do is repent and recognize that Jesus is the Son of the living God. This thief recognized that he was undone. He was truly a criminal. And Jesus was the Christ.
Yes.
If he didn't believe that, he wouldn't have said, when you come into your kingdom. All you got to do is remember me.
My Lord.
And because of that, Jesus didn't say you got to be baptized first.
No.
He didn't say you got to put your name on the church roll. He didn't say you got to shake the preacher's hand. He said because of this confession that you make right now, that you know I'm going to heaven.
No.
You accepted me as the King of Kings.
All right. All right.
No, not as a Jewish king, but as the King of Kings, when you get into your heaven, remember me. Because of this declaration, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that thief rejoiced in himself, even though he was on the cross in pain also. But he rejoiced because he said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. To absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of God.
My
Hallelujah.
Lord.
God is good and he loves us.
Yes.
We'll go on to the third last thing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The third last thing is, it says, woman, behold thy son.
Mm-hmm.
Disciple, behold thy mother. Jesus is again teaching us. Oh, my God. What an awesome teacher. That's why they call him Rabbi, Master. He is an awesome teacher. He is teaching us again that he said to himself, woman, behold your son. What Jesus is doing now, this is his last will and testament.
Mm-hmm.
When you know you're going to leave this world, you need to have your last will and testament. And so Jesus is teaching us again.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get your business straight.
Yes, yes.
You got to get your business straight.
That's
he
right.
loved his mother. Mm-hmm. And so I believe Joseph had already gone on by this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so his mother was a widow, and she was by herself.
Mm-hmm.
So he began to say, John.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed to John and said, woman, meaning mama, behold your son.
Mm-hmm.
And John, behold your mother. I am giving you to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to see about my mother. Hallelujah. We have to make sure we take care.
That's right.
Our last will in Testament. Jesus is on the cross.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Minutes away from dying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he had the love. He had the fortitude to begin to do the right thing.
That's right.
According to even man's understanding. He gave his last will and testament. And began to give his mother in the care of John. He didn't have to get a notary public. He didn't have to have an attorney. Because what he says is law. Oh my God, he is the great attorney. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so he gave his last will and testimony and testament and began to give John power of attorney. Hallelujah. To take care of his mother. That was the third last thing. The fourth last thing is he began to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we can get puzzled by this and we say, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus began to cry out, my God, why have thou forsaken? Well, let me let you know that at this time, Jesus had the sins of the world on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He had the sin of those who already died,
mm-hmm.
the sin of those who were alive,
right.
And the sin of those of us who weren't even born yet. He had the sin of everybody
mm-hmm.
on him,
mm-hmm.
and God and sin don't mix. No matter who it's on. Oh, my God. God and sin is like all in war. They just don't mix. So God, at that moment, had to separate himself from his son. His son didn't know how that feels. He never experienced that before. Jesus, that's why he said he went down in hell. He experienced hell at that moment because when hell is being separated from God.
Yes.
So Jesus was separated from God.
Hmm.
And hell is life without God.
Hmm.
And so he cried out the agony. The pain of the whip, pain of being spat on, his beard being pulled out, did not compare to being separated from God. Did not compare to being separated from God. So he said, why have thou forsaken me? Hallelujah.
My Lord.
So it's a dreadful state for Jesus at this moment. He cried out and said, Father, my God, why? This was not a question for God to answer. It was a rhetorical question. He didn't want God to answer. He knew the answer. But his flesh just cried out, being in the state, being without God. Oh, my God. We don't realize what we have when we got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. God abiding in us. Oh, my God. After you taste it, David say,
taste and see
that the Lord is good. Oh, my God, he is like honey in the rock. Hallelujah. If we begin to ever taste God's presence in our being, it's dreadful the thought of losing that.
That's right.
Oh, my God, when the anointing is on you, And you know, God is resting in you. You don't want his spirit to part. David said, whatever you do, oh my God, whatever you do, don't take your spirit from me. Whatever you do, Lord, I'm not worthy to compare. Whatever you do, don't take your spirit from me. So Jesus was at this point where the spirit of God had left him. God had to depart and separate himself because God and sin don't mix. I pray that you get this. God can't mix with sin. And so that's why Jesus said, you've forsaken me now. But it wasn't the question that he was asking. He knew the answer. Oh, he knew the answer. He knew the answer. Hallelujah. He knew the answer to that question. That was the fourth saying. And now let's go to the fifth, last saying. John 19 and 28. King James Version of the Bible. I thirst. just two words. I thirst. After Jesus was beaten and bruised for us, spat on, drugged through the streets, lift that heavy cross. His body was drained. Isaiah 53 and 5 said, but he was wounded for our transgression.
That's right.
He was bruised for our iniquity.
The chastisement
of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, he's healed. We are healed.
Mm-hmm.
We are healed. And so Jesus, after taking all this physical pain, blood running out of his body, bleeding for 3 hours, oh, my God, it put me in mind of the little lady who had an issue of blood. After bleeding for so long, 12 long years, she was weak. She was bent over.
No.
Could you imagine Jesus on the cross bleeding, losing blood? And the lady's blood does not compare to the blood he was losing. Because he had open wounds in spite of it. And in with that. And so losing blood, getting dehydrated. The human in him would say, I thirst. Could you imagine being drugged through the streets, whipped, spat on, bed pulled out, crown of thorns on your head, spikes in your hands and in your feet.
Mama.
And you're in the sun. And blood, is every ounce of blood that you have is draining from your body. So the result was that he thirsted. And instead of them giving him water, they gave him vinegar to fulfill the prophecy. Hallelujah. So that was the fifth saying. The sixth last saying is, it is finished.
It is finished.
It is finished. John 19 and 30. This is a word of completion. It's done. It is done. It is done. It is finished. Your victory has been won. My victory has been won. Nothing left for him to do. He had complete. Everything we need, because, like I said earlier, he was wounded. for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement, everything that we need, our healing was complete. Our deliverance was complete. Our salvation was complete. Everything we need is now finished. According to our salvation, nothing else left need to do but to present
my Lord
the offering. Because he was wounded. That's for the transgression. He was bruised for all our iniquity. And the weight of the cross was on his shoulder. to give us some peace. The cross is on him. And for our healing, he got whipped. And so we are healed. He didn't say you're going to be healed. He said with his stripes, we are healed.
Yes.
Oh, bless the name of God. With his stripes, we are healed. And so this is a statement of saying it is done. I'm done.
Yes.
I'm at the finish line. my race has been won. The victory has been won. Hallelujah. Paul said, now laid up for me a crown of life.
Yes.
Woo, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a good fight. Kept the faith. Through all of his dying, he never deviates. And teaching us all the time the principles of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Of how we should respond to our circumstances. And while we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. He died for us while we were his enemy. But he didn't look at us as enemies. Because he said, forgive them. Oh, they don't know. He reconciled us as friends. Because he laid it down just for us. Just for us, he laid it down for us. And that was the sixth saying. And we move to the final saying, which is the seventh last saying. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, actually, this was the last eight words of Jesus before he died. He said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Jesus says, Father, addressing his Father. Because now the only person that is able to accept the offering that he's going to present is his Father God. And so he's saying, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Now, when he said, into thy hand, he's talking about a place for something of value for somebody to hold just for you.
All right.
When you say, into thy hand, he was now giving something to God to hold for him. Then he said, I commend my spirit. I commend my spirit. I begin to look at this word, I commend, and I begin to think at first that it meant he surrendered to the cross. He surrendered to the death. But then the Holy Ghost begin to say, no, son, when you surrender, it's because you can't win. So surrender is really giving up.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus did not give up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, no, no. He didn't cower down and surrendered, but he entrusted his life to God.
That's right.
To entrust is to put in the care of another or turn over for safekeeping. So Jesus now is turning over his life to God for safekeeping.
All right.
Because you know Sunday morning is coming.
That's right.
And so being a true steward, that God who gave him the human life, he's now giving it